Mike, come on in. All you hockey fans, exhausted from trade deadline day. Welcome, everybody, to our special edition of Trade Deadline Day, Real Kipper and Bourne Show. It's Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick for the next 2 hours. Special edition, 5 to 7 Eastern, here on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet Plus. And whenever you can't get us live, please download on your favorite pod platform and find us. And if you want, give us a text, 590-590. We'll see what we can squeeze in. But I'm not sure what we're squeezing in because we've got Brad Treliving, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, in about 20 minutes. We've got Elliot Friedman, who's going to join us at the top of the hour to kind of dissect what the heck happened. And where would Off the Rails Friday be without Doug McClain?
Yeah.
Later on in the show.
Does it qualify as an off the rails Friday if the deadline falls on off the rails Friday?
I just spent a minute saying, I don't hear anything. And then it's because I got my earpods on and I'm not plugged into the monitor here. So that tells you everything you need to know about Off the Rails Friday, don't you?
Yeah, we're off the rails. Good.
They're also called AirPods, Kipper. They're not earpods.
What did I say?
Earpods. You always call them your earpods. They're AirPods, bud. Get with the times, okay?
AirPods go in your ears.
I just added to Off the Rails Friday. That's what I did purposely. Did you see that?
How
that works?
You're nailing it. Crushing it.
How many trades, Sammy, did we have today?
Lots. Lots of little ones. Do you want me to count them out at live here?
Do we think it's around 20?
Sure.
You don't have to count them, Sammy.
No, to call your bluff. Oh,
okay.
But would you say the best was saved for last? The biggest surprise? It seemed like everything was kind of fitting in. There was a couple of bigger names out there still to be played out, including Toffoli going to the Winnipeg Jets, which there's not a person in this country that doesn't like that for the Winnipeg Jets.
No kidding.
But outside of that, pretty consistent with maybe the fillers for teams around the edges, and then boom, San Jose moves their prized possession up front, Thomas Hertl, to like Vegas. And we're like, nah, that can't be right. Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas, baby.
And if I may add to that, Hertl has been added to LTIR for Vegas, which means they now have $6.75 million in cap space to fit additional call-up. They have infinite cap in Vegas.
They actually have figured out how to play in the NHL without the salary cap.
It's like a glitch. They have a, I don't know, left, right, start, select, ABA.
Okay, for the record, I really, really like, I like this trade more for San Jose than I do Vegas.
Tell me more. Why is that? That's the first time I've heard someone say that.
Because San Jose's so bad that you're not going anywhere with Thomas Hertl. Anywhere.
Agreed.
So what? Who's the centerman they got back?
David Enstrom.
Enstrom. Which I think has got a lot of upside from what I hear about him.
Okay.
So it fits better for the rebuild plus the draft picks. It just makes more sense.
It does, but I don't like that they retained salary for six seasons.
You know what? You got to pay for the draft picks. You got to, like, it's just the cost.
Yeah.
JB, it's just the cost of doing business. That's all. It's not your money anyways. It's some rich billionaire that we don't know.
It's not the money. I'm worried about his cap space when they do want to compete. But to your point, maybe they think the cap in 4 years when they're competitive is so high that what's $1 million?
So what exactly... what were the picks? It was a first and a... Sammy, do you have it?
Yeah, it was a 2025 first-round pick.
Yes.
And the Golden Knights got a third-round pick back as well as a... Is that correct here? A third-round pick? Am I looking at that correctly? There's no way.
No.
I'll tell you what it is right here.
Yeah, it is. It's Edstrom and a first-round pick. Mm. That's what it is. And... I think it's good just to move on.
Yeah.
For the future.
Yeah. You know, so either way for Vegas, it to me is just so impressive and what they've done here over the past week. I mean, Anthony Mantha, Tomas Hertl, and Noah Hanifin have suddenly been added to this team. You're going to get back Mark Stone at the end of the year. You still have Eichel in the mix, yeah. Chandler Stephenson. This decor is loaded. Like, the top of the West is unbelievable. Colorado probably made as big strides as Vegas did, or close to. They're in second, but I mean, boy, Winnipeg, Dallas, Edmonton, you know, did their work early. It's the top of the West is just loaded.
Now, Hertl is hurt.
Hertl.
Right?
Yes.
So.
But he's supposed to be back by the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this played a huge part in this trade, is that if you look at this guy's history with knee injuries, mm-hmm. it goes back to 2014, 2015. I think he had major surgery, had ACL, MCL.
Yeah.
And then just recently he was out before the All-Star break, ended up playing in the All-Star break, and then comes back. And then if you kind of followed that story a little bit, it was like, I decided to have surgery again, which meant I'm not sure if he and the Sharks were on the same page with his knee history.
Do you think there was tension with him and the Sharks?
I get the sense that there is. Yeah. I'm not here to tell you that I can confirm anything, but I just get a sense that they were just tired of dealing with constant knee injuries with this guy.
Yeah, maybe they're worried he's never going to be the player they thought they were buying. Six more years is scary if you're worried about that.
And just to confirm, it is Hertl and a third-round pick in 2025 and a third-round pick in 2027 to Vegas. So they got two picks out of it as well, and it's Edstrom, a first-round pick, and 17% of Hurdle's contract.
Yeah, retained. Part of what like, you're paying. Yeah, that
he's had some major injuries with his knees, and if it's great if he comes back and he's great and he and Vegas can live happily ever after. But I think it was a concern for San Jose is how safe are these knees right now moving forward on this contract?
Interesting.
You know, taking it at face value for the player we know he can be. I mean, he's an elite guy, right? He scored 35 plus in the league. He's big. He's, you know, he's a really valued asset for a team that, you know, Vegas needed a little bit of help scoring this year. And so you love that for them. But certainly if that's more of a concern than I had heard previously, that's something to keep an eye on.
So how much, I mean, I don't know, I wish I had it in front of me, but like how much are they going to add once the playoffs start? It's got to be close to 20 mil.
When guys come back? Yeah, Alec Martinez and Mark Stone.
Hertl now.
Hertl will come back. He'll probably come back in the regular season, but yeah, towards the end there, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're playing like $100 million cap.
I'm sorry for my Oiler fan friends again.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go, well, I mean, maybe they're going to slip down to the wild card spot here and you're not going to have to deal with them. You know, Nashville is somehow ahead of them in the standings, which is crazy, but it sucks for a lot of people. I mean, I don't mind it. They're using the advantages, I guess, that they have. It's hard to kill them for it.
No,
but at the same time, if you're a fan of a team that's going to play them in the playoffs, you are seething today.
Edmonton didn't make a move, Kip. Your thoughts on that, or do you want to go somewhere else?
No, I'm okay with that. Yeah. Just saying that there was a sense that Ken Holland was still looking, but didn't have the sense of urgency when he was able to pick up the two forwards from Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I like the Oilers' pickups. I think, obviously, Carrick is a certain type of player that they like, and Henrique fits a need, but, God, this team is so good, so good. And to leave them without really a second line, you know, like, they're short a guy in the second line. They're probably short a guy, a defenseman, on the first or second pair, depending how you feel about things, and you're short a backup goalie.
They did get Stetcher for some depth.
Sure.
But not someone that maybe a few Oiler fans were screaming to upgrade from Cody Ceci.
Yeah. So it's very possible. Like, they've been a pretty good defensive team, and when Skinner's good, they can outscore a lot of problems too. And, like, this Oilers team is never one I'm counting out. I've got my own money on them coming out of the West still. I still believe in them. But yeah, today I think other teams improved over the last couple of days and closed the gap significantly.
So we saw some significant trades in Vancouver and Edmonton, but we saw a significant one once again from Winnipeg Jets, Tyler Toffoli. His name had been out there. There was a sense that Winnipeg was interested, but almost had a feel like, yeah, we've heard that one before on trade deadline, Winnipeg in, and then never closing out. But I thought this was a really, really strong move by Cheveldayoff off to look at the West and go, and I see what's happening here, and I need more depth.
I mean, yeah, I think I talked about them not having as much offense. Like, the Jets are a team that, because they don't have, if you ranked the best 100 forwards in the NHL, you know, you might have Scheifele in the top 30, Ehlers, Connor, whatever you think, but they don't have any top 20 guys. And so they're going to have scoring throughout the lineup. And boy, this is a big addition for them. It's actually tough to figure out where to put all of their players, given how many forwards they have. They have as good a full 12 as any team in the NHL with Toffoli. So excited to see where he fits in and, you know, what sort of impact he can have. Chevy's added some good guys over the years, you know, like,
yeah.
Niederreiter at the deadline last year, Nemesnikov was helpful too.
Do you think, are you surprised no first in that trade to get him?
Was it a 2024 third and a second in 25?
No, I'm not.
Because, you know, you see the price of Sean Monahan that goes for a first earlier on, and then you get Toffoli on the day for...
Traditionally, centermen have always carried higher premium.
Yeah, that's fair. Just to me, that's one of the guys that was still left heading into today that I figured would have been part of would have got a first.
I get the sense too is like, you know, Gary Bettman going out there last week, the talk about wanting the community to get reengaged, corporate getting more involved.
So you gotta Toffoli
adds to that. Come on, we're doing our part here. So let's go. Building needs to be filled. Renewals need to come in. Yeah. We're doing our part. I think it's a strong message from Winnipeg Jets.
We are stacked, and we are right in the mix to be a potential Stanley Cup finalist from the Western Conference. Like, they are, they're, you know, they're not, I don't see a world where they're not one of the favorites to me. Like, I know it's a tough slog in that Central Division, considering what Colorado did. Considering what Dallas does, getting Tanev or whatever, but they could beat either of those teams in a playoff series. They could go to the final. So you're right, Kipper. It's a good message to send.
Just so solid. Like, you feel like out of their 10 or 11 guys who could shoot it in the net, someone's going to have a good playoffs.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like a couple of guys are going to get you enough goals. And then with Hellebuck, you just feel like they can compete. They added Colin Miller as well on the back end. He was in New Jersey this year, plays 16 minutes a night. He's got a lot of playoff experience, went to the Cup final with Vegas in 2018. Just shores things up in the back end. I still would have liked to seen a little something else there, but I think a lot of teams feel that way. It was tough to make moves.
In about 7 or 8 minutes, we're going to welcome in Brad Treliving, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. A couple of pickups, depending if you're a Leaf fan. I'm not sure how excited you are, but a necessity if you want to take a long run in the playoffs is that depth. So he was able to solidify a couple of pieces, including Joel Edmondson, who did not play last night in Boston. But do you guys want to go just winners and losers here for the next little while, and you want to include what happened in the last few days, or is there something specific today that you still want to get to?
Well, I think it was
I don't want to call Kyle Dubas a loser again here, but I didn't love that trade. But if we want to get into that stuff, we can. I don't know if you guys talked about that today on the show. I just felt like that was the biggest one. And it feels like we haven't really addressed it. I think that probably we should go there.
So what are your thoughts on the return for Gensel, Kip?
It's kind of tricky now because we're a day like this or days towards the trade deadline. You're also talking about some assets that you haven't really been privileged to follow or hear enough information on. So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, Gensel was the biggest prize that you had out there in the last 2 weeks, a month. I don't know how far you want to go back.
Yeah, good player.
But the one thing that I know about Pittsburgh is they're not big and they're not tough and they're not heavy. And everything that tells me from Bunting going to Pittsburgh to these picks, like there's nobody 6'3 and above. They're just... they're almost like cut from that same Toronto Maple Leaf. Let's just get the most skilled guys here. It looks like he's taking a blueprint a little bit off of that.
You know, if I were in his shoes and looking at the age of the core guys and thinking when you want to be good is now, basically, and you don't want to lose Gensel for nothing. Dubas lost a ton of players for nothing when he was with the Maple Leafs. I get the idea of seeking out prospects and not picks. You know what I mean? Like, try to get guys that maybe they can help you. I don't know if it's next year, but at least the year after that. Bunting is the guy that you take to Crosby and go, he's a 60-point guy. Like, we didn't get you nothing in return, and you kind of hope that you've appeased the team in the short term, still feel like you're competitive, and one of these guys comes through, you can say, all right, we turned a guy into someone, but I have talked to a number of scouts like you probably have, and none of the people I've talked to have been like, oh, I really love this kid they got. Like, they all sound like lottery tickets, you know, be kind of B-level prospects, and who knows. So.
Sammy, do we have Sid Crosby's post-game comments from last night? Now that we're on the subject of Pittsburgh, I wouldn't mind bringing that up because
he was not happy.
It was almost painful, JB.
Yeah.
To listen to Sidney Crosby.
We do have it if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's go to Sidney Crosby last night after a very tough loss to the Washington Capitals.
Not going to be any more. What are your thoughts?
I mean, he's a great player, great teammate. You know, a friend. I think did everything he possibly could, you know, in his time here. You know, just a privilege to play with him for the course of that time. And, you know, some great memories. And, yeah, it was just a privilege. That's all I can say.
What are you thinking about the rest of this season? I mean, I know you're trying to get into the playoffs and win every game, but also management sends this message?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's probably a better question for them, yeah.
So did any of that distraction from playing to what happened tonight?
That was his comment. I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, how do you feel about, you know.
And he said, I don't know.
Yeah, ask them. Ask them how, you know, I can tell you they feel like we're quitting. And so I feel not great, Bob.
It's just on the surface, a trade for the best guy available at the deadline for a former Sioux Greyhound, three skilly guys and no first round pick. Yeah. It's not great.
Like, everything's great.
You didn't get you got a first round pick if Carolina makes it through the absolute meat grinder of the Eastern Conference, which they haven't shown a propensity to do. It's just, how do you not get a first guaranteed first rounder in that trade?
It's funny the way that they listed the trade, eh? That they got a first and a fifth in the deal. Like, that was the way it was announced. First and a fifth, which reverts to a second and no fifth if they don't make the cup final.
Yes.
Which is, you know, a very PR way to advertise it. That we got a first and a fifth in this deal. A likely thing.
Unless the super unlikely thing, like less than 10% chance thing happens, exactly. And it's a second.
I thought that was a bit of a sales.
But I do think it's a great ad for Carolina to get Gensel. And Gensel's an excellent player.
And you know what? And you guys, I like the Kuznetsov thing. Because I know Kuznetsov is a complete flyer, but as someone who once upon a time got sober, the idea of like wanting to come out and be your best self and committing to this like new like focus and energy and whatever, just knowing how I felt. I don't know Kuznetsov's situation, not that far removed from the player assistance program, but for a flyer for $3.5 million or whatever they're going to pay him this year next.
That flyer scares me.
Yeah,
it does. And I don't think enough was spent on the fact that this guy had just been coming out of a NHL Player Association assistant program, mm-hmm. which doesn't really tell you much. It protects whatever issues he's had. But the man has had some issues.
For sure.
My first thought is coming out of the program, and listen, I mean, I'm talking to an expert here.
All good.
Okay? And is, Carolina, are you putting him in the best position now of strength to come in? Like, did 4 weeks in this program, he was in February 5th, now he's going to resume his career. Like, are you, how big of a flyer is it that you're coming out of a program and you're ready to go and you won't have some pitfalls that you had before? Now, I've been on enough clubs where I have seen certain guys have some issues off the ice, come into the dressing room, look us in the eyes, and say, boys, I'm going to be better. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about me. And I'm going to do everything I can, and I'm good. And I've changed. I'm a changed man. And guess what? Doesn't happen.
You know, I think we can go deeper on that. We do have our guest.
Okay, yep. Let's welcome in Brad Treliving, Toronto Maple Leafs general manager. Brad, thanks for doing this. I know it was a real busy day here, but your thoughts about the trades that you made, including Connor Dewar from Minnesota for a fourth, just your overall thoughts today.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I would call it, Nick, sort of a usual trade deadline, you know, day and you know, leading up to it. Obviously, you saw lots of deals take place probably in the last couple of days leading up to the deadline. I don't know if it was that busy for us today. You know, you kind of spent the weeks leading up to the deadline to, you know, certain things that you may try to accomplish or trying to accomplish and have a good understanding of what you may or may not be able to get done. As far as the acquisition today of Connor Dewar, you know, as we looked at our group here and identified some needs, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we had some needs, if you will, going into to the or going into the deadline as we watched our team. And, you know, the reality was we weren't going to be able to fill everything that we wanted to. And certainly in some cases at a, you know, whether it be, you know, the things I always look at is you watch your team, you determine what your needs are. Then you look at it is what you need available. You know, what's the cost, what's the acquisition cost, and see, you know, do you have the cost to get the acquisition done? So as we looked around, one of the things that we wanted to try to add to our group is, add some depth at center, somebody who's defensively responsible, is a good penalty killer. You know, one of the areas of our team right now is our penalty kill that needs to get better. You know, we were not able to airlift a bunch of new penalty killers in. So number one, we've got to tighten things up from a structural standpoint. But B, if there's an area to tweak ourselves personnel wise, it's an area we want to do. Connor's a guy that came in from a cost fit in terms of a cap hit, a real competitive player. You know, a lot of people may not be familiar with him. Excellent penalty killer, has some flexibility in terms of positional utility, can play center, can play the wing. And like I said, I like, you know, he's got some grease to him. So we're excited to add him. It gives us some depth in the middle. Like I said, the guy who's got a skill set in terms of penalty killing, defensively responsible. So glad to get him as part of the group here today.
Brad, how much is what you did here and what GMs generally do with the deadline reflective of your belief in the team going into the trade deadline? Like, you know, you look at some top teams and you say, okay, they really believe in them. They're going to make the big swing here. On the other hand, you know, I guess you could say that you believe so much in the team, you didn't want to make a big swing. How much does it reflect belief in team, what a GM does?
Boy, you're always watching. And what I say, Justin, is your team, you know, you take your cues from your team. Now, there's guys that, you know, you just go back and look at teams that have won a Stanley Cup, and there's teams that have won a Stanley Cup that do very little at the trade deadline. There's been teams that won a cup that, you know, have done things at the deadline. So, you know, I think when you're trying to add and you're giving up assets to your team, you're trying to give yourself a better chance. You know, certainly your comfort level in giving up A assets, not only, I don't necessarily say it's not a reflection of a belief in your team, but you also look at where your situation is. What is your, you know, in terms of future assets, what is your asset-based look like, whether it be young prospects or picks and those types of things. So, you know, certainly when you know, the message I gave to our team leading up to the deadline is, I do believe in this group. We, you know, our plan is not to subtract, if possible, from the group, and we'd like to add to the group. And then you go from there, and there's got to be a fit and a match. And like I said, the things I talked about earlier in terms of a match from availability and then the ability to acquire those players. But certainly you always take your cues from your team and where they sit and before you address anything on the deadline.
We're talking to Brad Treliving, Toronto Maple Leaf general manager. Brad, I know last night you didn't get the results that you wanted against the Boston Bruins. I found it kind of interesting that after a very spirited game, at least within the physicality department, Boston went out and got Patrick Maroon. What did you learn about your team last night, and what did you learn about what it's going to take? Because we all think this is heading towards a round one matchup. I think 75% were the odds that you and the Boston Bruins will be their puck drop.
Yeah, I do think, Nick, you got to be careful of just, you know, focusing on one team. Obviously, you know, we look at the I get handed odds and all sorts of numbers each day about, you know, probabilities and whatnot. Listen, Boston's a real good team. You know, they've been a real good team for a long time. They're playoff hardened. You know, it was a good atmosphere in there last night. They were honoring the 2011 Stanley Cup team. There was lots of juice in the building. You know, there's some real good things from last night, and obviously some areas that we got to clean up. I think, you know, I liked the competitive nature of our team last night. If you're talking about things that I liked the competitive, you know, I thought we were real competitive physically. I thought we were really engaged in the game. We made some critical errors, you know. I disagree with the 5-on-3 call, but, you know, we were 30 some odd seconds from having a kill, the penalty killed. We don't get a clear. It's in the back of our net. We turn a puck over. It's 2-0. We got ourselves back into the game at 2-1. We had some chances to tie it up. You know, we have a good, real good chance to tie it up at 2-2. Puck comes down the other night, and comes down the other way 3-1. So, you know, one of the big takeaways I take out of that game is, number one, we've got to make sure that we're emotionally invested, emotionally and physically. It's an area that we've really tried to push in our group since we've gotten here, is talking a lot about, you know, the game within the game and the emotional and physical investment that's required. At the most important time of the year, I think we were invested in that game. But also, when you're playing a good team like Boston, you know, they don't beat themselves. You know, they don't make the critical errors. And when you look back, and the game is a game of errors, but we made critical errors that I thought they capitalized on, and those are errors you can't make it playoff time. You got to be careful. You got to be good with your discipline. Your special teams have to be good. You've got to toe that line in terms of, you know, making sure that you're disciplined, but that you've got to be ultra competitive. And so that's the lesson that's got to stay with us. We can't beat ourselves. We can't, you know, we can't make critical errors that gives a real advantage to an experienced team like Boston. So, you know, these next 19 games, number one, they're there. We've got to qualify for the playoffs. We've got to earn ourselves a position to be a playoff team. And we got to use these 19 games to get our game in a position where it can have success in the playoffs.
Brad, you guys added some muscle. Not that Dewar's a big guy, but yeah, feisty fella. And you've a couple of D-men in that obviously, you know, big, heavier type guys. You know, how much can this... I guess you talk about physicality and competitiveness, and how much of it has to come from your core guys, from Matthews, from Marner, from Nylander, the guys who are on the ice the most for you in playoffs, and how much can you lean on the guys around them to be that sort of physical edge to help them through?
Well, to me, it's all, I mean, you have to be physically, emotionally invested. I mean, it's not meaning about running guys through the wall or anything like that, but, you know, you're fighting for every inch of ice when it comes to playoff time. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're always led by your top people. You know, they have to lead the way for you. And you know, that's just the way it is. And you look at playoff series, yes, you know, age old adage is, you know, your top guys sometimes saw off, and it's the depth that can push you through. And I totally agree with that. But in terms of leading the way, your top people have to do it. And, you know, as I talked to our group, you know, leading up to this deadline, is number one, I said, I believe in you. We're going to do what we can to add to this group. You know, we're going to try to help ourselves and add pieces and not take pieces away. But at the end of the day, you know, the answers are right here in this room right now. And they're the ones that have to really, they're the ones that are going to do the heavy lifting. You know, you can have support around them, and we need to support them. But that they're, you know, they're the top guys, and they're top, you know, these aren't just good players. They're top players in the league. And they've gone through playoff success, and I know they've gone through some playoff heartbreak here. And I haven't been here, but you know, it's just, those are each one's is another, you know, just another opportunity to get better. And until you break through, everybody says you haven't broken through. The list is long of guys that, you know, that didn't get through till they finally got through. And so that's, you know, ultimately our big boys have got to lead us. And then the rest of the group has got to be there in lockstep to support them and do their job. This isn't, as I said on day one coming here, this isn't about one, two, or three, or four guys, and we just put everything on their shoulders. They've got to lead the way, and the rest of the group has got to be real good support and push and pull and make sure that they're doing everything to help, you know, support our top people. And that's just the way it's got to be. And I've got all the faith in the world in them. And like I said, we've added some reinforcements here. I know our group's excited. They're excited about the challenge ahead.
We're excited as well as trade deadline's over and we get towards a Stanley Cup playoff. I know it's a long day for you, Brad, but we really appreciate you stopping by. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too. It's
Brad Tree Living, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Listen, they can work around the edges all they want. If you're not even coming remotely close to matching Pastrnak and Marchand's intensity from Nylander, Marner, Matthews, Tavares, they're cooked.
It's actually crazy watching that game last night and hearing different people's takeaways from it. And I know, Sammy, you've got takeaways from it too. But I got to say, I thought that team, the Leafs, worked, competed, took it to the Bruins, were in their face, and then there were the guys you just mentioned. So I thought, as a whole, the team was really good. The guys who you're talking about and why I asked Tree about them, I thought they weren't up to the level last night. And it could be a back-to-back. It could be sick. It could be. But it wasn't there last night.
I mean, do they have the bubonic plague? How sick are they? Like, they're out there playing. I think there should be, it's the NHL, you're making 11 million, you should be held to a certain standard. If you're sick and you can't play. But yeah, it's a tough visual for me that we're in the third version of a bottom six or different guys or whatever you want that are on 1 year contracts, and they're the ones trying to be the guys that are lighting a fire under them. Tyler Bertuzzi's beating the crap out of people.
That's why they get those guys, because they don't have it at the core.
Domi's trying to fight Marchand. Domi's beating the crap out of Charlie Coyle.
But those are afterthoughts, right? Those are
players.
Well, I don't know what was the score when Domi went after
4-1.
4-1.
Exactly. So it's message sending, but that's not where the game's won and lost.
All these guys come in here, Kipper and Borney, and they all come in and they get a taste with this core and they leave. Foligno, you know,
Ryan O'Reilly,
Luke Shen, Achari, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
But now we're watching it happen again, where it's these guys who are dogfighting in the front of the net. Bertuzzi's dropping the gloves. Domi's getting into it every game. 91's just watching scrums.
It doesn't matter if those guys aren't engaged.
That's what I mean. That's the problem. That has always been the problem. It's the core of the problem. And we always dance around it. But that's the core of the issue.
Like, Willie Nylander, like, you're the last man back. Is that just not the unwritten rule here, JB, where you just do not dance?
You know how it is, Kip. There's like a couple guys, a team, maybe 10 guys in the league who you say have at it up there. You know, roll the dice. Mm. And Willie's close to that group,
I didn't play with many coaches that would just do that.
Try the toe drag at the blue line.
Alex Kovalev.
Try to tell Connor McDavid he can't do it.
Yeah.
Willie's close to that. That doesn't upset me last night.
Connor,
it's not good. But.
Connor, when he's turning up towards the blue line, he knows that he's protecting the puck and he's going to skate it back, or he's going to make it a nice outlet
pass.
And
this is fine. But we're talking trends. Like, is this something like Willie does this a lot? He doesn't do that. Has he done it again this year? Like, to me, that's not a trend that I worry about necessarily. What I worry about...
Unless it's game 6 or game 7.
Sure.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't against the Bruins, too.
That's fair. Hey, listen, it's fair. It's not a good play.
Thank you.
Shouldn't do it. The coach should tell him, don't do that. But to me, I see Austin Matthews going to finish checks and stutter-stepping first and kind of pulling up. And, you know, I see guys in the scrums that are, as you mentioned, not those guys.
Well, it's not... Can they play?
They can't.
Can Matthews play that style last night and still be the 70 goal scorer that, you know, we think he's heading towards?
He wasn't anywhere near the middle of the ice the entire night.
According to Sport Logic, the Leafs had one high danger chance at even strength.
And they scored? Oh, at even strength. I was going to say, they scored on it.
Physical for those guys?
Every time the temperature gets ramped up and it's intense and physical and it's loud and all of a sudden it's a playoff feel. You know,
a little nervous,
maybe.
Well, it scares the hell out of you that the two superstars, I guess Marchand's a superstar and Pasternak's superstar for the Bruins, just can't wait to play the Leafs. That's their favorite thing to do. And the Leafs hate playing the Bruins. And those two things, every time you watch,
do they hate
it shows.
The Panthers and the Bruins.
Yeah.
Now,
they do.
I don't feel like you guys did about the game en masse last night. Like, in talking to you about it, I thought the Leafs were, you know, again, back-to-back situation. I thought they were very competitive. The Bruins got 23 shots. Wool didn't make saves. Typically, you get a couple of saves. Matthews and Martin to play better. Like, it's not tough to envision a game where that's a closer game.
When was the last time we saw a game like that out of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
And that was the most physical emotional game.
Emotion.
But it's all the guys that, quote unquote, don't matter as much.
But you're not going to have Matthews and Marner fighting anyway. I just want them mad. I want Marner to celebrate his goal like Connor Geeky celebrated his goal.
I want them to be angry one time.
Yeah, maybe wrong guys to get angry. They're skill.
Yeah. I know.
Right?
Well, there's lots of
guys.
Lots of guys that do both,
gonna
boys.
Be a challenge. Maybe Connor Dewar can come in and rattle him up a little bit.
He's a needle mover.
I pre-like Connor Dewar. Watched him fight four times.
Okay, that's enough.
What's his hometown again?
He's from the Paw.
The Paw.
Yeah, Manitoba.
5'10 out of the Paw.
All right.
Got to be tough.
Scrappy.
You want to go to a break?
Yeah, let's go to a break. We'll do game time.
Okay, plenty more still on this trade deadline, including Elliot Friedman at the top of the hour and Doug McClain. Back after these words.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Trade deadline day. Big names.
No.
Wow. And not so big names.
Just before we get to game time here, saw this tweet from Greg Wyshynski. He said, Vegas general manager Kelly McCrimmon said Mark Stone has lacerated his spleen and will miss the rest of the regular season. And it's unknown how much time he will miss after that. It's impossible to know what the timeline is. Where's my camera?
Could it be 6 weeks?
Fingers crossed. If everything goes well, we could have
I wonder what the timeline is.
Very
that spleen becomes unlacerated right around springtime.
I got in trouble yesterday for encouraging HIPAA violations on the air. So
no comment on you?
Apparently not.
All right. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, before I get to the games, there's four games on trade deadline day.
Do you want none?
Yeah. Has that always been a thing? It's been a popular conversation. Do you agree with that? Do you care?
Listen, there could be more action two nights before, three nights before.
What's the GM doing anyway?
Right? You think they're all sitting around watching us, right?
What do you mean?
TV made it what it is. Right. Before, it would have been throughout the day, like, you get a 10-second update, and then you go about your day.
Would you have always known as a player when deadline was, though?
Oh, yeah.
Like, even...
Oh, yeah. And then you're like, no phone call. Yeah. Don't have my cell phone with me. Yes, it's nervous times for a lot of players.
Yeah. So, having said all that, the Winnipeg Jets tonight visit the Seattle Kraken, and to me, it's a really good number for the Jets just to win. What -120 money line? I feel like they're going to be very inspired by another addition. And Toffoli's not going to suit up tonight or whatever, but just the fact that they made another big trade, they're a much better team than Seattle. They're looking to get into the top spot in that Central Division and stay there. I love the Winnipeg Jets -120 in Seattle tonight.
All right,
that is I would even call that a lock for me. And the other games tonight, it's Dallas Stars and Anaheim. Not going to do anything with that. Minnesota visiting Colorado. Speaking of two teams heading in two different directions here, Minnesota just stripped down. And the other one I'm looking at, this is a weirdly short number to me. The Detroit Red Wings are in Arizona. They're only -135. Mm-hmm. Not sure why that is. A little bit fishy to me. But give me the Detroit Red Wings at -135 over the Arizona Coyotes tonight at Mullet Arena.
All right. The Avalanche. At the Moulet. Trenin. Duhaime.
Yeah.
Mittelstadt.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, you see Bo Byram last night? Bo Byram? That's who they traded?
Yeah.
Bowen Byram.
Yeah. Just snap one under the
bar
for Buffalo.
Good hockey player.
That's the best trade.
For Buffalo.
No.
Period. You're not
most
a Mittelstadt guy.
Most impactful?
Best trade.
He has a chance to be a legitimate top pair guy.
I think he's got a chance to be a star.
Doesn't it feel redundant with Power and Dahlin there? Like where is he going to get all...
I know they're all three or left-handed shots, but I'm sure somebody can play the right side.
Yeah, I just think like for power play time, like this guy feels like, oh, I'm stuck behind my car my whole career, and they're like, here's Dahlin and Powell.
I think forwards are a dime a dozen compared to a very good D. Look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've been looking for how long since Boreas Salming?
Edmondson's as good as Byram?
Morgan Riley we like, but is Morgan Riley a number one defenseman?
Yes, but that's not the question
No. He's not. He's a two or three.
No.
He's definitely a number one.
He is a one defenseman on a good National League hockey team.
Is he on a Stanley Cup team?
Two different conversations. Is he one of the best defensemen in the league? Maybe not. But is he a number one defenseman? Yes, because he's a number one defenseman on a team.
I need another 1A with him.
Mm-hmm. Like, we've always needed that, Kipper, this whole era.
Last night, everybody's watching the Boston Bruins against Toronto. Lindholm's not even in the lineup. That guy's 24 minutes. That guy's a beast out there. Okay? And now it's Charlie McAvoy and him against Morgan and who? Who's backing Morgan up?
Let me wrap up.
So when you get a chance to get a defenseman like Bowen, it's like, yeah, go get him.
Mm. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now I got to ask you, Kipper. Did Marchand do that on purpose last night?
On knives?
No, there's no way. There's no way that you can track that from where he came from. And if I'm not mistaken, Charlie Coyle was between the two of them, and it was... But once you're into I realize
you're going to run into someone.
Once you're into like that window where it's like, I'm not slowing down and I'm going to drop my shoulder and you're going to take the brunt of this.
He's going to elevate his elbow into his head. Yeah.
Whatever the case is, Sammy, you know what? That's the game, bud. Okay. That's the game. Whatever it is, whether he did it on purpose or didn't, is irrelevant. What mattered was he masked it around a play on the ice that says, hey, boys. Big fish sometimes eat the little fish and move on.
Brad Marchand is the Pavel Datsyuk of deception, except when it comes to hurting people by accident.
Do you think he should fight when he does stuff like that? Like when Max Domi goes up to him and asks him to fight, when you're up 4-1 and your building's rocking?
I disagree.
Why doesn't he have to fight, Kipper?
Because you don't have to fight. You can. A guy like that can call his shots or his terms.
Okay.
I'm with you, Sammy.
I think
it would be nice if he did, but at the end of the day,
if you're Montgomery or
any other coach with your frontline guy, do you want a Max Domi taking you off the ice or taking free shots at your head? I don't want that. I don't want it. I'm sorry. He's dirty, and it'd be nice if someone gave it to him every once in a while, but...
I gotta tell you,
he's at the point where he can dictate.
I didn't get any texts from Leafs fans after he McCabe cross-checked him in the chin last night. No one texted me and said he shouldn't have done that. I didn't get that text from anyone.
He also speared McCabe in the gonads. That's why
he's been doing it for his whole career.
That's why he loses the benefit of the doubt.
I think it's a tough visual for the Bruins captain to be doing this multiple times in a game, lying on the ice when he's screaming at everybody and running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
I bet his fans, they love it. They go, he knows what he's doing. He's making some Leafs fans pretty mad. How many times have I said to you two
that if he was a Leaf, he would be my by far favorite player in the history of the game?
You can't recognize that this is part of his game. But if I was a Leaf fan,
I would probably say that he should have fought Domi last night. If he was on the Leafs, it's like, it's a tough look.
But they beat him.
Of course they did.
And if he got a couple shots
in. But he also took a headshot at one of the Leafs' young guys and knocked him out with a concussion. Yeah. Well, maybe not a concussion. He's going to play it or whatever, but he left the game. I don't know. Just thought maybe he was eligible to fight.
It's a valid concern.
Marner limped off the ice a little bit when he missed his net.
What happened there?
Yeah.
Didn't like that.
No.
I mean, look, they lose any of those guys, it's night.
Listen.
I wouldn't expect
Marner to play tomorrow night.
Oh, really?
Harden?
You think it's something?
Be careful. That's all.
You think he's not going to play?
I don't know.
Okay.
I had heard that there might be a little bit of a concern about him.
How big of a concern?
Would you relax?
He could use a rest anyway.
He could use a rest. They can all use rest.
Okay.
Austin's got the plague. Mitch has a broken leg.
No. Come on.
Relax. I sound like my wife right now. Relax. You know what? Hockey is so hard. Why did you just shoot in that net? Hockey is hard.
It is hard.
You couldn't make the decision.
When we watch, you watch from afar and you're sitting on your couch and you're eating your chips, but pucks are bouncing, they're rolling, and you know how it fell on his stick. You don't
have to apologize for the guy.
No, I'm just saying.
He'd say I should have shot that.
Yeah, he should have shot it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah.
There had to have been some reason why he delayed. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's just hockey's hard.
Yeah, well, I think he thinks the goalie's going to come diving across and he can wrap it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. He just didn't feel it was the right time.
A little double
which
happens.
he's regretting today.
That was the turning point in the game because they were playing pretty well. They were coming a bit. And if that goes in the nets, 2-2, different game. And then what happens, happens. But anyways.
All right. Still plenty to get into.
We said we were going to talk about the Leafs.
This has been the Leafs hour.
We got Elliot Friedman. Is there anything left out of Elliot? He's going to come in here and he's going to look like he's just been through the ringer.
Well, he has been.
Got lots to ask him about.
Plenty. And then also Doug McClain on Off the Rails Friday. Oh, he's just been stewing all day watching these trades. We'll get his thoughts as well. Don't go away. There's plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.